What's up, everyone? It's the Nigerian Nightmare, Kamaru Usman.
Henry Cejudo, a.k.a. Triple C.
And Henry, what a Saturday that was. What a Saturday. What a fight.
A Shot of Lime production.
Henry, before I even go into, because I was amazed by it. Of course, I had my feelings coming into it, but I was amazed by it. So before I even go into it, I want to hear your take, Henry. How did you see the whole night as a whole and just the event?
Yeah, it's, dude, you talk about, I mean, a sold out Honda Center. Seems like Anaheim seems to be the place to really bring fights with guys of Mexican heritage. And I feel like this fight, watching Masvidal and Nate Diaz fight, really captivated the crowd. You talk about 10 rounds of pure fighting. Was it world-class fighting? Was it Oscar De La Hoya versus Floyd Mayweather? Was it Floyd Mayweather versus Manny Pacquiao? No. But you know what it was, Kamaru? It was freaking entertaining. These guys actually scrapped. I mean, watching Nate Diaz kind of get pummeled in the beginning half of the fight to eventually start picking it up and to eventually seeing him steal those last three rounds, that's pretty much what won him the fight is Nate Diaz's ability to be able to take punishment, make a guy like George Masvidal work. I tell you what, Masvidal was catching him with crazy amount of punches, bro. He was sticking him hard. There's a couple of times where he actually kind of wobbled Nate Diaz, but Nate just, you know, he's got that nirvana in him where he's able to take suffering and yet find peace. But that being said, you know, I'm not mad at the decision, but I could also see the fight going the other way. And typically I don't say shit like this, but to me, the fight was a damn draw, Kamaru.
It was
5-5, bro.
Henry, I completely understand what you mean by that and how you felt. You know, first and foremost, yeah, everybody knows Nate Diaz got that Homer Simpson in him. You know, it don't matter how many times you hit him, he just ain't going down, you know. And so, but first of all, big shout out to both of these guys. It was world-class entertainment of guys with some stature. That's what this was, you know. And we see guys now, this seems to be the trend now. We see a lot of guys doing this. You saw, like, Jake Paul. This is Jake Paul's. This is what he does. This is the events that he wants to put on. Yes, they're not necessarily world-class boxing events, but this is entertainment right here. And I think what Masvidal and Nate Diaz went out there to do, they put on a masterclass on how to put on just a world-class entertainment event. You sold out the freaking Honda Center. And not just that, you had stars in there. You had people who came out to watch this. Floyd Mayweather was in there. Yes, he had his fighter that he was promoting, but Floyd Mayweather was in there. Floyd Mayweather, arguably the greatest boxer ever, was in there to watch them. And I mean, it was just a spectacular event. I mean, just seeing the build up and you know, everything leading up to this. I mean, let's talk about that. You had, yes, the kid that Floyd is promoting fought on the undercard. You had Danny Jacobs, world champion, fought on the undercard with Sugar Shane Mosley Jr.'s son. They fought on the card as well. Then you have Anthony Pettis, former world champion, UFC world champion, fought under these guys as well. And then you got Masvidal and Diaz come out, and it was just the whole – it was late as hell here. I ain't going to lie to you. It was late as hell. But I stayed up to watch it, and they put on a spectacular event. I mean, as for – well, I don't want to say spectacular. I want to throw that word around loosely. they put on a great event. It was very competitive, very challenging, Henry. And, yes, like you said, I think the activity from Diaz at the end was what just kind of swayed the judges, because yes, Masvidal was landing cleaner shots and harder shots, but Nate just touch, and just refused to go down. And yeah, of course, over time, the judges are going to see it that way.
They still have an 8 tie, but I'm not mad at the decision. I'm not mad at the decision because it did go to Nate, but I could also see it going for a guy like Masvidal. I mean, what's next for these dudes? You know, what's next for a guy like like Nate Diaz. I mean, I personally want to see the trilogy between him and George again. But the fact that these guys came in, and as you said, I mean, and I'm going to disagree with you. It was a spectacular performance. The only reason why I said it because it was entertaining. You're kind of off your seat. Was it the best? Was it world-class boxing? No, it wasn't. But you know what that tells me too, Kamaru Usman? That there's something there. If you're able to catch some of these UFC fighters that have big names, you give them that same level of competition that they have, if they can have their equal and actually put them in a boxing ring, instead of having mismatches like, you know, like we're seeing now with world-class MMA fighters and then world-class boxers, I think it changes, man. But I do believe that this could be the future of where the fight game could potentially go.
No, I agree with you. I like it. But now, just as a whole, yes, it was a good event. I don't want to say spectacular. I'm not throwing that word around loosely. It was a good event. It was a good fight. Both, you know, similar position. But did you not – let's get technical in here. Did you not notice – first of all, shout out to George Masvidal for staying the course throughout, but he was in southpaw the whole fight. I think maybe one or two rounds towards the end, like round six or seven, he switched to orthodox, but then he switched back to southpaw. And that thing, that was kind of puzzling to me because we saw George all of his mixed martial arts career in an orthodox stance. So everyone, we assumed that he would come out in that stance, but he didn't. For some reason, he did not come out in that stance. He stayed in the southpaw. He stayed committed to it. Yes, he was landing good shots, good body shots, you know, good overhands. But a piece of me felt like that wasn't his natural stance, or maybe it was, and he was just orthodox his whole mixed martial arts career. Henry, what did you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just adjustments that I just felt like maybe he wants to throw a guy like Nate off, or maybe he knows that. You know, when you go southpaw, remember that your kidney's on your right side. So he's probably thinking, you know, Nate likes to go to the body when he's probably protecting that piece. But George has the ability to switch. You know, he's an explosive fighter going with a guy likes that's pretty predictable, but he's a volume fighter that has a crazy chin or a crazy threshold of endurance like Nate Diaz. And I just feel like, you know, George thought what he did would probably be more beneficial because you're right. I did notice that towards the end, but man, it looks so natural to him. Now, what happens if he was to just maybe fight him right-handed? And I think if this fight does happen again, I think the cards are on the table for a guy like George Masvidal. Maybe I don't beat up Nate Diaz. I just have to beat him. I don't have to maybe pour, I don't have to pour everything that I can to finish him in the first few rounds. Like I think now he's going to understand that tempo. But do I want to see that fight again? 100%. I think there's a lot of options right now for both of them in reality, even with Masvidal taking this up because the fight was so good. But for Nate Diaz, you have him versus maybe he does a trilogy with George Masvidal. You know, he called out Leon Edwards for the strap at 170 pounds. You don't think Dana would give it to him? And then obviously he's got that big money fight.
Wait, what?
You don't think Dana would give him that fight? But remember, dude, like the UFC is an entertainment company, and if he's able to bring those pay-per-view numbers, and especially if a guy like Leon Edwards calls for the fight, he could potentially get it. But not just that, but check this out too, Kush. He's got a $15 million payday if he fights Jake Paul next, and that's guaranteed. That's not even guaranteed pay-per-view. Just imagine with the pay-per-view, $15 million guaranteed plus pay-per-view. The dude could wind up, if he fights a guy like Jake Paul, making anywhere between $20 to $25 million.
All right, let's get serious here. Let's get serious here, Henry. What? You think, oh, yes, I want to fight Leon Edwards, and he just jumps in and he gets a title shot? Are you serious? Come on, Henry. You are two division champion. And you came back and you fought Merab.
Yeah, of
so
course.
So basically you had to earn a shot at Sean O'Malley. So you're saying that he should just definitely come in and get it? He should just definitely come in just because he has numbers?
I'm not saying that, but what I'm saying is he could. And yes, I mean, you know what? I am saying that because you know what? Because you know what? Leon Edwards could call his shot. Remember, we're both.
Leon cannot call his damn shot. He can't call his shot.
At one point, Kush, we do have the right to be like, I'm not ready. You know what? I want Nate Diaz, or I'm just going to hold off for a year. This is what Leon Edwards
could potentially do. I'll take your belt for a year.
And check this out too, Kush. They fought once before, and Nate Diaz in that fifth round hurt him. If there's one or two more minutes in that clock, who knows? Nate Diaz, I mean, Leon Edwards.
Nate landed a punch. Yes, of course. Nate landed a sneaky punch. He landed a sneaky punch. He landed a sneaky punch after Leon beat the dog crap out of him for 4.5 rounds. But listen, at the end of the day, he landed it. It was an incredible punch. But that does not warrant him all because of that. He had one moment in the fight. We're going to give him a title shot just because he decided get it. Serious, bro. You smoke today?
We're gonna go back. I probably should.
I think you have. Cause you crazy. First of all, Leon is not sitting there. Oh, I want Nate Diaz. First of all, no, Leon.
But why wouldn't you though, Kush?
Why wouldn't you? Because Nate Diaz is not even in the UFC.
The biggest money fight and the easiest fight for him stylistically as well. Yeah. Did he beat him up for those 5 rounds? 100%. But he did get rattled. Then guess what? Nate Diaz does a really good job of marketing. I'm telling you, this guy is independent. He can do a 3-fight contract with the UFC. I personally think Dana could go that route, and he has. I'm gonna give you a prime example. Daniel Cormier and Pat Cummins. You remember Pat Cummins? Wrestled that Team USA. Like he was part of the national team. He did put it on Daniel Cormier. He ended up using his mouthpiece. Next, you know, the dude was working at Starbucks, quit, and ended up fighting the lightweight heavyweight champion of the world at that time, which was Daniel Cormier. Is shit possible? Call me crazy.
What? No. Stop that. You cannot compare the two. Pat Cummins was still a world-class athlete at that time. Pat Cummins just bit off a little more than he could chew with a UFC title contender in Daniel Cormier, and he picked that for his first fight. Pat Cummins did whatever he had to do to get into the UFC, and he had success after that when he got into the UFC.
But did he or did he not? But did he or did he not fight the lightweight champion of the world?
That's completely different. Nate Diaz is on completely tail end of his career. Yes, of course, he's made a great name for himself. And big shout out to Nate Diaz for still having, you know, that notoriety to be able to go out there and, you know, still get paychecks like this because he's getting all these good fights on the outside. But come on, to say Nate Diaz is going to come back in and walk into fighting world-class mixed martial arts fighters right now in the UFC, come on, that's absurd.
So are you saying Nate Diaz ain't a world-class fighter?
No.
That's what you're saying?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. No. He was. He was. And don't get me wrong. Shout out to Nate Diaz. Nate Diaz is still, you know, he can still, you know, fight.
He's dangerous, bro. He's dangerous.
But he's not
dangerous.
A world-class fighter. Are you crazy? Throw Nate Diaz in there with Shavkat Rahmanov. Throw Nate Diaz in there with myself. Throw Nate Diaz in there with JDM.
Okay, so am I hearing a
call-out?
Throw
Nate Diaz in there with Justin Gaethje. Come on. Oh.
So that being said, what's next for Nate Diaz? If you're in Nate Diaz's position, what's next for him?
And Nate Diaz, PFL, and Jake Paul are offering you $15 million to go to MMA and fight him in MMA. I'm taking that, Nate Diaz. That, I think he actually wins a fight like that. Yeah. Shout out to Nate Diaz. I think he actually wins a fight like that.
You think in MMA, you think he beats Jake Paul in MMA?
I think so.
Okay.
First of all, his ability to endure the punishment. Second of all, his grappling ability, I think, gets to Jake Paul. Look at this. Jake Paul hits him, and Nate Diaz doesn't go down. What happens when you realize, oh, it's not ropes anymore? I'm trapped inside a cage. Oh, this guy's on my legs. Oh, this guy gets me down. Oh, he's trying to choke me. Oh, he elbows my face.
Yeah, but But that being said, I don't think Nate's gonna fight this dude in the octagon or in the cage. I don't see that. But what I do see, Kush, and call me crazy for this, is I see Masvidal versus Jake Paul next. Because I know what Nate Diaz is thinking. I know he wants to just box. And I know Jake Paul doesn't want to box. He actually wants to fight. He wants something different. So I could see the Jake Paul, George Masvidal fight happening prior to that. And I think, I think Nate might choose maybe somebody else and just wait to see that, to see what happens there. And then he'll probably take the winner or potentially take the loser because they're both, they're both people that he's fought. I mean, he's got the trilogy with the guy like George Masvidal, or he has that second boxing fight with the guy like Jake Paul.
But I will say this to you, though. With a performance like this, you give yourself another week or two of being talked about. So you still build a little bit more hype, a little bit more hoopla for yourself in Nate Diaz. So I do think there are fun fights that Nate Diaz could still be a part of. If Nate Diaz still wants to partake in mixed martial arts and still wants to be involved with the company like the UFC, the Conor McGregor fight's still there. That's a good one for Nate Diaz. If Nate Diaz decides, hey, I don't want to just go take $15 million, if that's the number, to fight Jake Paul in mixed martial arts, the Conor McGregor fight's still there. That's a huge one.
So what you're saying now, Kamaru, is your boy Michael Chandler's about to get skipped once again.
No, I'm not saying that. After Michael Chandler. Stop it. After Michael Chandler, I do believe a guy like Nate Diaz is also another good fight for Conor McGregor to kind of see where he's at. Because, let's say he does, let's say he doesn't get past Michael Chandler. It's still Conor McGregor. Conor McGregor and Nate Diaz still does numbers. So, hey, I would like to see that. I think, for Nate, that makes sense. But if not, take your $15 million payday, if that's the number that's being thrown out there. But I do agree with you, Henry. If Nate doesn't take it, I can see Jorge Masvidal taking that fight with Jake Paul. I think that's an even more competitive fight because now I think Masvidal does better fighting a guy like Jake Paul.
Yeah.
Honestly do. Yeah, but I agree. We have to see it. We have to see it. But one thing that I do love is looking at both guys. Both guys look fine. They're sitting there not too beat up and face all cut up, bleeding everywhere. So they look fine. They just went out there. They entertained the fans. They entertained the world. And they still have their wits about them. That's what I love to see right there. Shout out to both guys, Jorge Masvidal and Nate Diaz. But also, Henry, on that card, you realize former UFC champion Showtime Anthony Pettis did compete. What did you think about his fight? And what's next for him?
Why are you doing this to me? Come on. I got to tell the truth. That shit is bad. I don't know. I don't know how it'd be Roy Jones, bro.
Stop.
That fight. I like Anthony too, but no, that's he. You can see it on the comments, bro. Like, he probably needs to hang it up, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Unless he just wants to, maybe he should go after YouTubers and things like that. It's not like Avila is a freaking world-class beater. He's tough. He's another version of Nate. Maybe not as high profile, but, he's a hard-nosed dude to fight. And if you're not ready for him condition-wise, dude, guys like that are problematic. You know what I'm saying? Like you don't have to be the best technician or best tactician. But overall, man, the fight, that fight was it was cool because they fought. But technically and tactically, it's like, bro, there's levels to this. There's levels to the fight game and boxing. And either way, I felt like it was entertaining. But I think Anthony needs to, maybe make it fun, bro, and go after like YouTubers, man. Like go after like a lot of these other guys. Like there's that Popo Freitas from Brazil. He's a former world champion. He's going after like a lot of YouTubers and things like that. And I think Anthony would be able to kind of, showboat and do a lot of things because he does have skill. And I honestly wasn't expecting that. I was expecting Anthony to put it on him, bro. And when I didn't see it, I'm just like, damn, man, we're about the same age. I'm just like, shit, man, maybe I should call it quits too.
Wow. I don't know. I don't want to say, oh, I think he should call it quits. I think Anthony's a guy that can still compete, but I think Anthony competes at the level of who he's competing against, because he looked better when he fought Roy Jones. Like, he looked good. He looked good. So I think
that's what I'm saying, Kush.
Yeah. I think it's a matter of he fights to the level of the guy that he's fighting. If the guy looks bad, then he resorts to not working too hard to look a certain way. But Anthony Pettis is talented. I mean, I still think he can entertain. And hey, what's up with the fight with Masvidal and Anthony Pettis?
Yeah, no, they're homies, bro. They got the same coach. I like that though, because you're stirring the pot here. I like that, dude.
It could happen.
You matchmaking over here?
Hey, it could happen. But also, it could happen. I mean, it wasn't the best looking fight, but, you know, I mean, shout out to him for still, you know, being able to go out there, you know, and get your bread, entertain and get your bread, you know. Shout out to him, you know.
Yeah,
because and the thing too is it was a six rounder, you know. He fought Roy Jones. I believe the Jones fight was a 8 or 10 rounder, one of those.
I don't remember.
So this was a six rounder, and so it didn't look the best aesthetically. Didn't look the best, but it is what it is. You know, hats off to him. I just, you know, as long as guys, everybody was safe after, you know, that's an important thing. And then, you know, hey, Shane Mosley Jr., he was in there. He did his thing. Fighting a former world champion like Danny Jacobs, you know, he definitely looked like he's a guy that's ready for, you know, a crack at a belt. And so what did you think about that? I think he looked like it.
Yeah, no, dude. You know what? I appreciate Shane Mosley Jr. because I respect him so much because he's in the shadow of his dad. And not just that, Kamaru, but he was able to – he's a 160-pounder, and he ended up fighting this dude at 168 pounds, and Daniel Jacobs was a pound over, and the dude still accepted the fight. I mean, talk about somebody who has true belief, and talk about somebody that's, you know, that's trying to come out of his own shell and have his own, you know, his own name and not live in the shadow of his father. But I love that fight, too. That fight was very entertaining, and he beat him. He beat Daniel Jacobs fair and square. And I also wasn't expecting that either. I was thinking the heavier, the bigger guy, the two-time former world champion, was going to go out there and really piece him up. Because I remember Shane Mosley Jr. fighting here in Phoenix, and it was the first time that he lost. I'm just like, man, I'm like, you know, the dude was taking tough fights. Like, he's not a kid that will shy away from competition. And then going up against Jacob, going up a weight class, the dude misses weight, and yet he still fights him and he wins. There's something special about this kid. And I think, you know, sometimes people mature a little later, and he may be one of them.
I agree. I like that, Henry. Well put. I think he is starting to come into his own now. I think he's on a 4 or 5 fight win streak now, to where I feel like he's ready to contend for potential title, to see where he's at, you know. So, you know, I agree with that. You know, hats off to him, and we'll keep an eye out for him.
Can I tell you too, Kamaru, it's like, we had a world-class boxer fight on ESPN. Yes, I'm talking about Shakur Stevenson. And I actually didn't even watch that damn card. The fight that I did watch was the Brazilian Constanson versus the American, which he ended up winning. But I didn't even tune in to watch a guy like Shakur Stevenson. And I hadn't even seen the fight. And I was thinking about watching the fight. But then once I saw there was another decision with the big mouth that he has, but there's nothing but decisions. I don't know, bro. Like, Kush, like, it just doesn't sit well with me. Me, as a person who loves the sweet science of the sport, I'm tuning in and watching, you know, the George Masvidal, Nate Diaz, you know, undercard, rather watching his fight. It's a trip. Am I crazy?
No, you're not. No, you're not crazy. You know, he's just a... I think it might have to be, he's such a good technical boxer that I think it might have to be a big fight if they can get him one to really bring the fighter that we want to see out of him. Because these fights aren't doing it. You know, you're getting guys who are relatively not names, not big names, but you're winning decisions. I feel like these are the fights where you got to put all these guys away in order to get to that big fight. But eventually, we all see his skill. We all see how hard he is to hit. We all see that his ability to move away from the shot, his ability to land his shot, his ability to walk guys down. But, bro, you got to stop these guys. You have to stop them. And if you're not stopping these guys, then hopefully, you know, you get one of those big fights one day to where, they, you know, your level really gets to shine through. Because right now, I just don't think you're making a great case for yourself as, you know, a guy that's going to get a $15, $20 million payday for a fight. But, hey, he did what he had to do with the opposition. He walked him down the whole time. He was great defensively. He was landing his shots. But, bro, you got to put these guys away.
Yeah, 100%. I couldn't agree with you. I think you hit the nail on the head. And not just that, bro, but I think, call me crazy, I think he needs to up the antics. When you get somebody that's so technical, so tactical, undefeated, he holds one of the belts at 135 pounds. But if you're not bringing, you know, if you're not knocking people out, but you have the skills and you're really good, then I think you gotta up the Garcia antics and do some crazy shit to be able to call attention, because people will not watch you unless they want to see you lose. And I think at this point, when he has too many decisions, if I'm in his position, I'd be like, all right, man, it's time to go straight heel. Like, it's time to go like straight heel. It's time to go the Garcia route and almost get canceled. Not pushing the envelope too far like that. But I think you have to. I think you got to go in there. You got to start fights. I think you got to go the Nate Diaz, George Masvidal fight, because you really got to sell it, man. Talking shit and being okay like that it's not going to be enough for his brand. I really do believe that he needs to up the antics. I do believe that he really needs to start picking on somebody, because I do believe that there's negotiations between Tank Davis and Vasily Lomachenko. He needs to be at that fight. And once that fight is over, he needs to get into that ring, push somebody or throw something at somebody in order for him to get that big fight. Because if not, we're just going to get a bunch of decisions with a lot of people that we Cringe don't know who the hell is fighting. Take You're notes, Kush.
Advice.
Take Cringe notes, Kush. This is business 101.
I get it. No, I get it. And I get it. And you do make a point, because Colby Covington, you know, prime example, was that guy that was, you know, defeating guys and beating guys, you know, but no one really seemed to care until he took a heel role. Yes, he's the ultimate heel, to where Colby Covington, doesn't matter who he is, who he fights, it's a big fight. It's a big fight. It doesn't matter. If Colby Covington and myself three was announced tomorrow, that's a big fight. If Colby Covington and my man Dustin Poirier is announced tomorrow, that's a big fight. Is Colby Covington and Ian Garry announced tomorrow, it's a big fight. Colby Covington and anybody is a big fight, because he went straight heel. And Henry, I think you might have a point there. That might be something that Shakur, because at the end of the day, he's chasing the bag. We're all chasing the bag. We want to be compensated for all the time, the blood, sweat, and tears we've put into the sport. You're chasing the bag. So this might be the only way for you to get the bag. Because if you're just not throwing caution to the wind and getting rid of these guys, this might be the way for you to still be able to have your skills intact to box the way you want to box and still get that bag. So, you know, yeah, take the advice from Triple C, the Cringe Master himself. But all in all, it was a great weekend. Lots of good fights. lots of good fights. Yeah, good fights. Diaz versus Masvidal, it delivered. They sold out. Sold out, delivered. Celebrities were there. I can't say anything. I can't say enough about it. I think Jake Paul, take notes. Take notes.
Hey, and check this out too. You know, and it's kind of going on right now. George Masvidal, he's a promoter. Why not see Nate Diaz as a promoter? I mean, who wouldn't want to see a guy that's beloved to be a promoter and be able to make these fights happen? And you know what I mean? It would be so different. So, Nate, you're onto something. George is already doing it with the bare knuckle MMA. I think there's something that's sets, you know, there's something that needs to be prior for, you know, post his fighting career that I think it could be the promotion game. You know, obviously you, Kamaru, you got, you know, you're a promoter out of Nigeria. You got your thing going on. I think with a lot of these guys who have done big things in combat sports or that are loved, could really turn this into business, like yourself, like Masvidal. And I can see a guy like Nate Diaz maybe starting his own promotion where he's finding the right people that want to fight and creating something. And who knows, man? It could be a competitor to any of these combat sports.
Yeah, but you know, at the end of the day, there's a lot that goes into promoting fights. There's a ton that goes into it. It's a big headache. You know, it's a lot. You know, but at the end of the day, I think he does have the Nate Diaz Academy to where he is passing on the knowledge. He is teaching jiu-jitsu. He's doing everything that he can, which is it's always great. It's always great to be able to pass that on when you're potentially walking away from the sport or you're thinking about walking away from the sport. So, you know, Nate's already been on that path. He teaches kids. You know, you saw that's the famous line that Connor made, that he makes animal balloons by day and he holds gun signs with his right hand by night. You know, hey, I'm just saying that's where that was from, because Nate's teaching the youth. So
I think I may be rubbing off on you, but you're starting to become cringe too, Kamara.
Oh my God. But as always, Henry, we got to give a shout out. We want to say thank you to Underdog Fantasy Sports. You know, as always, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Thank you guys for sponsoring the show. Always playing their pick'em game is as simple as selecting higher or lower in a variety of player stats like significant strikes and takedowns. Underdog has one of the biggest offerings in the MMA game, and you can win up to 100 times your money. They also have picks for every other major sport.
Underdog is available in 30-plus states, including California, Texas, Arizona, and Florida. Right now, all new users to Underdog will receive up to $250 in bonus cash and a pick'em special by using code P4P. You know what P4P? You know what that stands for, Kamaru? Exactly. When you sign up.
Of course, support the show and click the link down below in the description to get started. Thank you, Underdog Fantasy, for supporting the show, as always. Henry, I am the Nigerian Nightmare. That's my name, right? You know that's my name? The Nigerian Nightmare.
Henry Cerullo, a.k.a. Triple C.
And we are out.